Good to be with you this morning. Our sermon is going to be a little different. We've been studying through the Gospel of Matthew for a number of weeks now. But I thought we'd turn to the Psalms. And this came about, we've talked about reading through the Bible in a year. One of the things you can also do is go through the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms in the Bible. And so it worked out pretty well to read one Psalm a day. And you can go through the Psalms twice in the year. There's a few Psalms that are sort of long, so you can drag those guys out. But you still have plenty of time to get through all the Psalms. And this week, two of the Psalms I came across, Psalms 15 and 16, I thought we would take a look at those this morning. Because sometimes we think about the Psalms. I mean, these were from the, quote, Old Testament. Most of them were written by David, who lived roughly 1,000 years before Jesus. So here are these writings that are 3,000 years old. Do they really say anything to us today? And I think if you look at the Psalms, you see that the message of the Psalms is the same message we see throughout the Scriptures. And in fact, I titled this lesson, The Gospel from the Psalms, because we do see the good news of the Lord, not the good news of Christ, so to speak, but the pre-picture of Christ, even from the Psalms. And so that's what we'd be taking a look at. I'm going to begin with a few of the New Testament Scriptures, and I think you'll see how well these fold into the Psalms. Last week, we looked at the rich man and Lazarus in chapter 16 of Luke. And if you remember from that parable, here was a rich man, and he had everything. And at his doorstep, at his gate, was the poor man Lazarus, who had absolutely nothing. And how their reversal of fortunes after death. The idea, we need to be aware of our neighbors. The great command of Jesus is to love your neighbor as yourself, to be aware of your neighbors. And that, is, I think you'll see as we go through, that we need to be aware of each other. This is not just something that, you know, we quote commands. We need to live by these commands. But I want to start with thinking about, what is our salvation? When we talk about salvation, what do we really mean? And I think you'll see as we go through the Psalms too, you'll see this idea. If you look over to Romans 16, one of the great passages from Romans, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now that last verse could be the one who is by faith is righteous shall live. And what I want you to take a look at, and you'll see this, I think, the same idea come from the Psalms. The idea of the gospel is when we go out and hopefully tell others about Christ, the power is not within us. It's in that message. The message of a God has always been powerful. And it's that message that brings life. And that's, I think you'll see as we get into the Psalms. You think about what he's saying here. Here's a way to be right with God. And that right with God is what we mean by salvation, really. Is that rightness that you can have with God, and that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And when you have that faith in Jesus Christ, then you can really live. We think about going to heaven. When here, Paul is talking about living now. The righteous can live now. When they have faith in Christ. And that live, that fullness of life. Jesus said, I came to give you the full life. The whole being of us. We have that full life when we come to the Lord. And when we have that faith, then we can truly live. And that's really what we'll be taking a look at in the Psalms. Is that idea that we can truly live when we come to the Lord. When we have ourselves with God beside us. Look at in Matthew chapter 28. We talk about what the church really is. And notice what Jesus says. This is right before he goes back to heaven. He says, Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What is our mission? What is the church really about? It's not about making this world a better place. We're strangers and sojourners here. It's about bringing people to the Lord And then observing all things, in other words, nurturing those people on. That's what we're about. And that leads us to life now and for all eternity. But the idea is that we're to be centered on that idea of teaching sharing the gospel. If you remember the rich man and Lazarus, the main fault that the rich man has is he just didn't share. He didn't give anything that he had to let. We have the greatest gift of all. And we need to be sharing that gift. And the idea of bringing people to the Lord, but not that doesn't end there, but observing all things, the idea of nurturing people and bringing them through the fullness of life that we have. If you think about in John, how do we know that we're disciples? We talk a lot about being disciples of the Lord. What's the real mark of a discipleship? Is that idea of love one for another. A new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. How do people know that we're Christians? Because we get up in our cars and go to church on Sunday morning? Or because we love one another? And that love has to be with our fellowship with one another. We have to be in fellowship. We talk about the church growing and important of bringing disciples. But we need to think about our own growth in our fellowship one with another. And that is the idea of loving one another and showing that when we're willing to give to one another and be in fellowship. Now, with those ideas, we're going to take a look at a couple of the Psalms. And I think you're seeing the same message ringing through. It's always been God's message to His people. The idea of love one another and to put your faith into God. And that's where life comes from. Look with me at Psalms 15. And we're going to take a look at this psalm again. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Now, this is a little different from the NIV. This is the New Living Translation. It's just slightly different. But one of the things you can see when you read through the Psalms is having one of the newer translations helps you to understand the Psalms better. If you read some of the older translations, it can be difficult to understand some of the Psalms. But there's so many translations available. You can go on your computers now and get, I don't know, there's probably 50 translations. I mean, it's unbelievable how many. The New Living Translation, I think, is very good. Most of the time I use the English Standard Version up here. But for this psalm, I thought the New Living was very good. Who may worship your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor faithful followers of the Lord and keep the promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. Now I want you to notice that very first one, who may worship in your sanctuary. How much do we think about our worship? I've heard a lot of people say, well, I can be a Christian at home and I can worship just as well from home. But the idea of Christianity is that we're together. The church makes up the very body or the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that means all of us together do that. And the idea that when we come together and worship on Sunday morning, or whenever we come together and worship, there's a special presence of the Lord that you don't have when you just worship the Lord by yourself. Now, it's important. And then we know the Lord is everywhere. One of the Psalms, David brings out, where can I go that God is not there? God is everywhere. But there's a special presence when you come and worship. There's a story in the Old Testament that most of us have heard all of our lives. Remember the story of the burning bush? You know, when Moses is out and he sees this bush burning. You know the story of Moses. He was raised in Egypt, but he had to leave Egypt because he actually killed an Egyptian. And he becomes a shepherd out in the out in the wilderness or out in the countryside. And notice the story of the burning bush. This is in Exodus chapter 3. One day Moses was tending his flock of his father-in-law Jethro, who was a priest of Midian. He led the flock into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in the middle of a bush. Moses stood in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. This is amazing, Moses said. Why isn't the bush burning up? I must go see. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses. Here am I, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for this you are standing on holy ground. Where the Lord is was holy ground. And it's very similar to what's said in the Psalms. If you go back to Psalms 15, who may worship in your sanctuary? Who may enter your presence of your holy hill? The idea when we come together in worship, God is present in a different way than He is any other time. And that what makes our worship special. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be. The idea that there's a special presence of the Lord that you have when you come together. That's why our worship on Sunday morning, it's important. This is what we worship beginning of the first day of the week to lead us through the week. And so it's important to come together and have that, have this time of worship, that be together with our Lord. Turn back again to look at the Psalms 15. The worship on your holy hill. Those who are blameless. What does it mean to be blameless before the Lord? Well, look at what the psalmist brings out and the idea that he has to be blameless. He says, speaking truth from sincere heart. In Romans chapter 12, he goes to what does genuine or sincere love mean? And it's very similar to what the psalmist says here. You can take a look at Romans 12 sometime. But look at what he says. He says, first, those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Have you ever spoken evil, ever said something bad about someone? Ever been caught doing a little bit of gossip? If any of us were really truthful, we would say, yeah, there's some time I've said something about somebody that maybe I shouldn't have said. You know the old words, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. It'd be good if we do more of that, wouldn't it? Don't gossip. It's easy. Somebody does something and they say something and we say it. This is one of those things I think we all have to work at all the time. It's nothing we're ever going to say that, well, I don't have to worry about that. We do it. Don't gossip. Don't speak ill of someone else. Just learn not to speak. But look at the next one. Who despises flagrant sinners? Sometimes we look up to people that we know aren't living the right life, but looks like they got everything going for them. Honor faithful followers. But look at this last one. Keep their promises even when it hurts. If you ever told someone you're going to do something and then you get busy and something else comes up and you realize, well, I'm not going to be, and you give them, I can't do that. I know I told you I'd be there, but something else has come up. How often have we overcommitted ourselves? And we told somebody and we meant to do it when we were asked and maybe we're going to meet somebody to do something or something else is, and something else comes up. One of the ideas that one of the professors at the Spiritual Growth Workshop talked about is college kids and how often they overcommit themselves. Somebody does something on Facebook. Oh, I want to do that and I want to do this. And pretty soon we realize we can't do all those things. We overcommit ourselves. When we tell someone we're going to do something, we need to do it. Even if something else comes up that we would rather do. We do what we say we're going to do. We let our yes be yes or no, no. It's not always easy to do that. It's easy to overcommit ourselves and say, well, and somebody asks us to do something. It sounds good at the time, but then something else comes up. And we want to do that something else. We need to be a people of our word. Even, notice what it says. We keep our promises, even when it hurts. When it's not convenient, we keep our promises. The last one, that we lend money without charging interest. We don't take a bribe. The idea, when we do something for someone else, we don't expect anything back. It's basically what the idea is. We do something out of someone because they're our neighbor. They're the person we're supposed to love. Not that we're going to get anything back from it. We don't do something just because it's good for us. We do for others because it's good for them. And we need to look at that. The psalmist outlines what it is to be a blameless lawgiver. Like I say, if you go back to Romans chapter 12, you'll see Paul talking about these same things. This is the way that the people of God are to live. and it's the way we're to live if we're the people of God. The next psalm is chapter 16. It's a little longer, and it's one also you'll hear quoted some in the New Testament. I'm going to read through the first part. We're going to really concentrate on the last part of this. Look at Psalm 16 with me. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good part from you. As the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will pour out and take their names from my lips. This is very similar to what was in chapter 15, if you remember. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen from me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Now look at the last part. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let the Holy One see corruption. You will make known for me the path of life. In the presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever. Now, I want you to notice that the first part here. The Lord is at my right hand. What does it mean to have the Lord at your right hand? It means that you're in harmony with God. You remember in 1 John, John says, don't say that you love God and don't love your neighbor, because you've never seen God and you have seen your neighbor. If you love God, then you show it by loving your neighbor. We put the Lord at our right hand. That means we let him have our way with our lives. We talked about that some in our Sunday school this morning. You that were here, the idea of putting our strength in comes from the Lord. And that comes really when we're in fellowship with him. And to be in fellowship with God means that we're in fellowship one with another. That's where our strength comes from. And that's what he calls for us to do, being with the Lord. And notice what that brings to you. First, your heart is glad. Your whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure. What does it mean when we put our faith with God? When we're in fellowship with him and fellowship one with another, when we're walking in the light? Glad heart. What's the opposite of being a glad heart is that stressfulness we feel in the world, isn't it? Here he talks about that security, that peace that passes all understanding. And what does that come from? It comes from when you place the Lord at your right hand. When you're in fellowship with God, then everything else falls into place. That's what the psalmist is bringing you. That's when you have true life. You remember all the way back in the very first verse we looked at, when Paul talks about the righteous will live by faith, or by faith you're righteous so that you can live. This is what living means. It means having a glad heart, having security. Everything is right in your life. Everything falls into place when you put the Lord at your right hand, when you put your importance in him instead of the things of this world. Jesus says, I came to give you peace, not like the world does. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. You can have true peace. The gladness of heart, the security that you feel, that comes when you align yourself with God. Now notice the next part. When he brings in, and this is one that you probably remember from the New Testament. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Remember last week we looked at Sheol. It's also translated Hades, or basically just means the grave. Or let your Holy One see corruption. Now Peter, of course, quotes this for the Christ. But here the psalmist is really bringing it out. Not it points to Christ, but it also points because Christ arose, we too have that promise of resurrection. We know that we're not abandoned to the grave, that we have that promise. Our hope is in that eternal security that comes from Christ. And that should give us comfort as well. This psalm is about when you align yourself with the Lord, everything else in your life should fall into place. And you have that hope, that firm promise of eternal life. And that's based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It points to that, as Peter brings out in the first great gospel sermon. and that this leads us to the paths of life. You have made known to me the path of life. The whole idea of scriptures is that when you align yourself with God, when you start walking with God at your side, when you're at His side, then you have the true life. The world doesn't offer you that life. All the security, the gladness of heart, the joy that you have, that comes when you align your life with Christ. And that's why you can actually say that the gospel comes from the Psalms. Because this is the good news that the Lord brings to us. Jesus brought out the idea throughout His ministry, repent or perish. The idea of repent is align yourself with God. Come back to God. And when you do, you will have life. Life comes from God. And when we align ourselves with Him, then we have that true life. That's the message of the Psalms. That's the message of the whole New Testament. It's really God's message from the very beginning. Is come to me and have life. I'm the giver of life. And if you come to me and you align your life with me, if you walk by my counsel, you will have true life. This morning, we've gone through just a couple of the Psalms. And I would recommend, take a look at these Psalms. I read one Psalm every morning with my, I have oatmeal every morning. And I sit there and have my oatmeal and I read one Psalm every morning. And it leads to my morning prayers. Now, you can take any time of day, but take one of the Psalms, put a bookmark in your Bible, and read a Psalm a day, and bring that out to you. You'll see the message of the Lord. We have a Lord who loves us. He loves us so much that He gave His Son for us. And that love, I think, is in through all the Scriptures. Just a few points, and the message is yours this morning. We need to remember that our purpose, our faith, is to bring others to the Lord and nurturing those that come to the Lord. We need to appreciate the need of our worship service. When we come together and worship, it strengthens us because we're in the presence of God. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be. And when you're in His presence with each other, it strengthens you for the week. We need to keep our word even when it hurts, even when it's not convenient. We're people of our word. Our yes is yes, our no is no. We need to understand that putting the Lord by our side means being in fellowship with Him and in fellowship with each other. That's really what it means to align yourself with the Lord. You're aligning yourself in fellowship one with another. Our faith should give purpose, hope, and meaning to our life. If you look at what the psalmist says, you see this, the idea of that glad heart and that we're secure. We don't have to worry about the stress of this world. Does our comfort and our knowledge of a Lord, we have that knowledge that He won't abandon us ever, even in death. Not death. You go back to Romans 8. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And do we let the Lord lead us? This week, Linda and I had the opportunity to go over to Orlando, to one of the parks over there, and like many of the state forests here, we have nice trails. There are some really good trails. And if you take a walk, this was about a 5-mile loop, and it's very similar to most of the trails around here. There's a blaze about every 100 yards, and on a tree there would be a little white emblem. And it shows you that you're on that path. Now, the trails in Florida are pretty easy. If you've ever gone up on the Appalachian Trail, they have blazes on it. And you get up in the mountains on some of these trails, and it's easy to get off the trail sometimes because the trail looks like it's going over here, and then it looks, and you're not sure. And you can be walking for a while, and you say, am I still on that right trail? And you look for those blazes. And if you don't see one, sometimes you have to retract a little bit till you find a blaze. And once you see a blaze, especially if you think you're lost, and you see a blaze, you get real happy. I mean, sometimes you've been walking for a while and you wonder, where am I? And you see the blaze up there on that trail and you know you are back on that path. That's what the psalmist wants you to do. When you put the Lord as your counsel, then you walk with Him. It's like walking on the trail and you see those blazes. You're walking on the road to life. Remember, Jesus says there's two roads that you can take in your life. One road leads to life. One road leads to destruction. Make sure you're on that path with the blazes in front of you, the blazes that the Lord puts there. He's marked down a path for you to run in your life, the race for you to run. And make sure you're running that race. This morning, think about the psalmist and think about putting your life with the Lord. If you have need to come in any way, won't you come and see others stand and sing.